Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Monday, October the 13th. I don't know about where you're at, but here where I'm at, the leaves are changing colors. It's the height of the fall foliage season. A lot of activity this weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway where the guys were in action and some fun stuff happened. We'll be joined on our show tonight by Miss Sprint Cup, Julianna White, who was in Pit Victory Lane when all the fun was happening in the garage. We'll get to talk to her. And later on, we'll be joined by TV anchor from Hazleton, Pennsylvania, Kristen Brzezinski. But right now, I'd like to welcome to the show my very special guest, Miss Sprint Cup, Julianna White. Julianna, welcome back to Garage Talk Live.
Good to be back. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty good. You got to see some fun stuff this weekend. You got to be at Dover for the end of the challenge round, heading into the contender round, I guess. And how did you like being back at the home track behind the scenes this time?
It was fun. A lot of my family members got to come, so that's always a good time. And that track is obviously one of my favorites, so it was a fun time.
Well, the last time we were there, and at the end of that race, four people got eliminated. It was A.J. Allmendinger, Eric Amarola, and I forget who else, a couple others, if I bring back the chart. But this year right now on the chopping block after Charlotte, some big names fighting for some spots, like Brad Keselowski, Dale Jr., and Jimmy Johnson, who were facing elimination there. And with Harvick winning Saturday night, him and Joey Logano move on to the eliminator round, which kicks off after Talladega. So, but while you were in Victory Lane, it looks like you were missing a lot of excitement back in the garage. But other than that, how was the race?
No, we actually got to kind of see it. ESPN turned their monitors around so Kevin Harvick could see what was going on, because we were kind of waiting until we could go live for his interview so he could get out of his car. And we were wondering why they were taking so long, and then they turned it around. We saw Matt Kenseth and Brad Keselowski. And so we kind of knew what was going on. It was a little confusing, but it was very exciting. That was what that night was. It was a very exciting night with the race and everything that went along with it.
Yeah, it turned out to be one of the biggest races of the year, and I would thought Jimmy Johnson, who basically two tracks that he pretty much rules would be Charlotte Motor Speedway and Dover, and he had a good run at Dover, but as far as Charlotte goes, it wasn't where he wanted to be, and that's kind of setting the tone here.
I know. It's pretty shocking, the four names that you said that are on the, you know, at the bottom of the list right now. And we only have one race left. I think Talladega is going to be huge. And I think we're going to see a lot more passion and drama on and off the track next week, too.
Now, I'm just wondering what penalties are going to come down tomorrow, because that's usually when NASCAR gets to dole out all that stuff after what happened there. But you figure, like, Kenseth, he's on the bubble. Casey Kane's on the bubble. Denny Hamlin, he's in seventh place. He won there in the spring, but to get himself to qualify for the chase. But I don't know. This new format is really making it exciting to see the guys fighting to stay in.
For sure. I mean, talking to the drivers before the chase for the Sprint Cup started, we knew that there was going to be a lot of excitement because there's so much on the line. But, man, now that we're in it, it's a totally different ballgame. Everyone is kind of racing as hard as they can, and tensions are high. So I think the new format is working. I love it.
Now, I love it, too, now that it's starting to play out. Before, you know, coming into a new setup, you wonder, well, how's this going to work? And fortunately, it's working out to where the drivers especially with the first two races in each three-race segment, can set the tone. So they don't have to go as hard, we'll say, in Talladega now, knowing that they're in. And that's the surprising one is Joey Logano, who won it in Kansas, made it pretty interesting. That's what, and then you figure as good as Kevin Harvick has run in this chase, his first win Saturday night probably took a load of stress off his back to make it into the next round.
Yeah, you know, he actually was my pick to win the race because I knew he was going to be turning it on, especially in Charlotte, where he has done well in the past, but he hadn't won in quite a few months, so I think they were all just very, very excited to get the pressure off.
Yeah, it did seem he was happy for that one, and you figure he had a – it's not that he had a pretty bad season. He had it's his third win of the year, so you figure he had two during the regular season, which really locked him in. And then to go through a stretch where you try to figure things out, I think that's what a lot of the guys have, especially the ones that had multiple wins during the first 26, to try to figure something out for the chase. But the biggest surprise, I guess, would be at this point, Jimmy Johnson, who had won earlier this year, three in a row, and it looked like he was I said, oh, Jimmy's on his way back. And then I guess they, you know, I guess it was, you know, they say if it's not broke, if it don't fix it. And I guess they decided to fix something that wasn't broke.
I'm not sure. I mean, he's one of the drivers that I would love to see do well next weekend just because he's such a shock to see at the bottom right now. Him and, you know, I thought Dale Jr. was having a phenomenal season, one of his best in recent years. And to see him down there, too, it's kind of heartbreaking, especially for a lot of the fans. So we'll see who turns it up next weekend. I think we're going to see yet another close and exciting race.
Well, going into Talladega, Jr., he was running well at Kansas until he cut that tire down. And that kind of, you know, put him at the bottom of the heap. But a restricted plate track, you really can't count him out at. He should have won the race earlier, but he didn't stick to his game plan that he ran at Daytona to win the Daytona 500. And if he would have done that, I think he would have won that Talladega race. So he's got something to prove. So I'm really looking for him to turn it on this Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone else is looking for him to turn it on, too. So, I don't know. We'll see.
So, with all that going on and the new in sprint, I think this setup's working out good for the championship. So, it's keeping everybody involved. And now with the new iPhone 6 out with the Sprint unlimited data plan for just the iPhone 6 buyers, that seems to be picking up a lot of steam because I figure with data limits, everybody that wants a new phone is going to flock to you guys and get that plan.
Yeah, we were playing around with the iPhone 6 at the Sprint Experience this past weekend, and I love it. I think it's great. I'm hopefully looking to get it soon, but yeah, Sprint has tons of new deals right now. If you want to switch, we can actually pay for your early termination fee up to $350. So if you want to get our family plan, which is just $100 for up to 10 lines, that's also super easy. And we have kind of double the data than our competitors. So it's exciting. We have a ton going on in the world of Sprint and NASCAR Sprint Cup Series too.
So how do you like, now that you've been, missed Sprint Cup for a while, how do you like all this traveling around? It sure beats going to QVC every day, doesn't it?
I mean, yes, to say the least. It's been exciting, you know. I've been living out of a suitcase, obviously, for the past couple months. Me and the girls have just been going nonstop. But, you know, the people that you meet, the places you get to go to, I never would have experienced any of it if it wasn't for the job of Miss Sprint Cup. So I actually will not be in Talladega. I'm going to go home for the first time in a while. You know, I get to see my friends and family when we go to our home tracks, but I'm going to go home for a little visit, and then I will be back after Talladega.
And so you got what? After Talladega, we have Texas, Phoenix, mm-hmm. Homestead's the last one. I'm missing one. My mind is slipping me. I have all these Martins. Oh, how could I forget Martinsville? Yeah. It's about an hour and a half from here.
I know.
That's
I haven't been to that track either. So
you're going to like that one. If you like the short tracks, you're going to love Martinsville. It's nice and tight. It's not as fast as Bristol or Richmond, but there's a lot of close racing because the track's not wide. It's
mm-hmm.
flat, and there's a lot of rubbing going on. And you can win with a wrecked car at Martinsville.
Jeez, yeah, a lot of people have been telling me that they're excited for me to see Martinsville. So
that'll be neat if you go down there. And everybody, the big thing in Martinsville, every track has their what they call their food source thing. Martinsville's the hot dogs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Martinsville hot dogs, they're red, and you can get them with their toppings, and I think onions and coleslaw and something like that. But Martinsville hot dogs, some of the other tracks have their own track specialty. I think I know when they go to the media center at Dover, everybody talks about the crab cakes, but
yeah, we had some good seafood there.
When you were at Dover, did you get to go to Sambo's? I know that's one of the haunts where people like to go when they leave the track.
Yeah, we actually went there last time because there's been a few names of restaurants in the Dover area that everyone always throws around, and so we got to check that one off. Loved it. I actually have the crab cakes there, so.
Well, the good thing in Dover is it's close to the beach, but it's not the beach, you know, because figured Dover, Delaware is such a skinny state. 3 miles away, you're on water.
Yeah.
See, then now when you go out to, when you come back this way, you're all inland. At least Charlotte, you know, it's basically it's a home track for the teams and all. So you know, living down there now, so you. The good thing is you didn't have to hop a plane the next morning to get home, so you just drive after the race and head to your apartment.
Yeah, it was so funny because last week pretty much everyone from our office and a lot of NASCAR people, we got stuck in Kansas for like 12 extra hours because of delayed flights, canceled flights. And then this week I was just like so thankful because every night I got to go home to my own bed and drive my own car. So, yeah, it was a nice little change of pace.
Yeah, I know. We had you scheduled for last week.
I know. I was in the air. I was supposed to be home like 6 hours before that.
Yeah, these things happen, you know. It's you're out there in Kansas. You got to fly through whatever kind of crummy weather you're going to get that's headed this way. And stuff like that, it's there first and comes this way. So if flights get delayed, and that's all part of the game. There's nothing much I can do about it. There's nothing much you can do about it. Except have a nice, safe trip back, and you know, just gives us an extra race to talk about. That's all.
Exactly. Yes, and it's fun because you know everyone that we work with on the team and the Spring Cup Series, and everyone that you meet in NASCAR, they're all such great people, and it's like such a tight-knit group. So we had a blast even with all of the delays for the day. So I'm glad I got to catch up with you later on, but it wasn't as bad as, you know, a delayed day should be.
What are you going to do? I mean, I did want to catch up with you after your Dover experience, and being it was a good one, and now we have a couple of events into the contender round, so it makes it kind of interesting to talk about how the chase is playing out, and it seems to be a format that I think everybody is starting to like if they weren't sure about it before. And like the first round after Dover, the bottom four was the ones I expected to go out went out. Kurt Busch, he and Greg Biffle. Biffle didn't have any wins. Kurt Busch had a win, but he was inconsistent in running. And then Allmendinger and Amarola there, they were, even though they had wins as well, they were just didn't have the running consistency throughout the season to last in the chase. But now it's starting to get down to where you're going to get some, we're going to get some good people dropping out. So here's where it really gets fun. So I guess we'll see at Talladega who lasts and who moves on. Who's your pick for the top eight after this race?
Oh my gosh. Well, I was looking at my Chase for the Sprint Cup grid that I had filled out, and three of the four drivers who are at the bottom right now had moved on. So I'm confused. My grid is kind of all over the place. I'd love to see, like I said, Jimmy and Dale Jr. pick it up this race coming up, because I would love to see them do well. I think, geez, but if you look at them, and then there's Brad Keselowski, who's been dominating the entire season and most of the races during the chase so far. So I think Brad will get through. Dale Jr., I think, are the ones that I hope will move on. The other two, I think, might get cut off. I don't know. It really is anyone's game to move on. But I think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be shaken up, are going to be a little upset, especially fans.
Well, the points are that close. When you look at Kenseth and Kane are a point apart. Brad Keselowski is about 18 points back. So he's going to have to finish near the front. So you know he's going to either have to stick with Dale Jr. and Jimmy Johnson and draft their way to the front and stay there all race. And that's where is going to be the telling tale. Kyle Busch doesn't run too well at Talladega. I mean, he can get a good finish, but a lot of the times he might get gathered up because sometimes these ones that like to sit in the back and wait for all the mess to happen in front of them sometimes get caught up in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking myself that I see Joey Logano, Harvick, Gordon Jr., Edwards. I don't know about Newman. I think he might fade this week as well. If he makes it into the next round, he'll be one of the bubble guys.
Carl Edwards, he's the only driver who's consistently gotten better. And I didn't have him moving on to the eliminator round, and I think I'm kind of second-guessing myself for him.
Well, you got to realize, too, it's your first year really in the sport, and so you can't be doing too bad. Next season, though, you're going to be a force to be reckoned with picking the grid.
Yeah, hopefully.
Because, the way Miss Sprint Cup works, sometimes you get a better gig and you decide to go for it. That's what happens. But if you stay with it, I think I'd love to have somebody from my area that I can get a hold of and have come on the show and talk back to the old neighborhood, so to speak. So when they all tune in from up that way, then it's good to see a local girl as opposed to ones that have come from down south or out west, you know.
Yeah, and it's nice to hear people appreciate having someone from the Northeast and then the Sprint Cup group.
I could imagine how when you told everybody you were leaving your job at QVC to become Miss Sprint Cup, everybody was probably missing you and all that because they knew they wouldn't be seeing you all that often.
Sprint Cup, but having a job that kind of is in the public eye, all of my friends from QVC have a blast following along, and they're also getting into NASCAR too. So I keep in touch with them all nonstop throughout the week, and they follow along with our activities. So it's been exciting for all of my family and friends to kind of learn and be in kind of a new community.
No, that's for sure. And we said now this Now you get to head back north and catch the end of the fall season with the leaves turning. So it's pretty nice down this neck of the woods right now.
Yeah, I'm excited to visit home for a little bit this weekend. I go home on Thursday. I get to go to Philadelphia and go to all of the haunted attractions there with all of my friends like we do every year. So I'm excited. But I also love this area too, so I'll be excited to come back home.
That's for sure. Get to go north and eat some pizza and cheesesteaks.
Yeah, I need a good hoagie and a good pizza, yeah.
The Eagles won't be in town, so you don't have to worry about that, I guess. I think they have the bye week this week. I'm not sure, so.
Yeah, but it was so funny. Last night I had to do a TV hit in the middle of the Eagles game. So I was in studio, and I missed a little bit of it, and I let it slip on their Go Eagles, and they wanted to kill me because it's all Panthers Nation up here. So it was funny. But they all know I'm from Jersey, so I have to root for them.
That's fair. And they shut out the Giants. So what more could you ask for?
Oh, my gosh. How awesome is that?
Yeah, that's something we get to see from afar down here. It was good that they were on the national game of the week. So that way you get to don't have to worry about going on a pay-per-view or something like that. It was They do have, I don't know who would pick them up. I guess either one of the, I think, was it Fox or one of the, or CBS has the NFC games. I don't know, they're on so many different channels now. You could always count on AFC on one channel and the NFC on the other.
Yeah, there's lots of sports channels now. I have them all and I just like flip through until I find what I need.
Well, it turned out, well, at least you didn't have to worry about missing the game for the race because the race is Saturday night. That's the only night race of the year, I think. The only night race of the Chase is the Bank of America 500. So I think they should run more of them at night. What about you?
I 100% agree. There's nothing like watching under the lights, whether it be on TV or in person. It's just incredible, and it's just, I think it's more of an event when it's at night.
Yeah, everybody gets into it. All right, it turns out to be a late night for everybody there, yourself included. Then when you get when you go to a race and a hockey game breaks out in the garage area, so
everyone woke up with that.
I was like, oh, this is good. Even Jeff Gordon, when they were interviewing him, he seemed to say, wow, this Chase format is getting exciting. He's glad he wasn't involved in it this time, but it seems to get the drivers' juices flowing.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it was funny because I had interviewed Matt Kenseth earlier in that day, and then everything started happening. And, you know, he's such an even-tempered guy, just so nice. And so to see him do that, you know that tensions are running and everyone is really getting into the Chase right now.
Yeah, he is one of the most mellow guys out there. But I think it's the fact that when Keselowski ran into him and he had the net down and he was unbuckled and all, just about ready to get out of the car, that kind of upset him. And you can't blame him for that.
Yeah, no, it was just everything that happened. Everyone had their jaws on the floor because we didn't know what was going on.
Well, look for more of that coming up because as these things get tighter, Talladega, they're going to keep their cool on the track just due to the speeds they have.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get down to Martinsville, there's going to be a lot of paybacks there. Texas, it's kind of like Charlotte, so there might be some after-the-race stuff, but look for Phoenix. Pencil that one in because that's the race that's going to make the difference. So The guys at Texas, they'll be fighting for that last spot, heading into Phoenix. To worry about right there. That's. But as far as Talladega goes, I don't think too much is going to happen at that one, because this is one where the guys that are at the bottom, if they can't get back in to finish the race up at the front, there's no sense of them having to go after some of the other guys. And I guess the best thing they could do is try to win the race if they're eliminated to cut down the amount of chances for the guys that need to win and move on for the elimination round.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see who's going to win the next race. And, like you said, all of the other ones. But, yeah, it's anyone's game.
We'll just have to wait and see. So who are you picking for Talladega? I'll go with mine if you make your choice, because I don't want to pick the same person.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I would love to see Dale Jr. either get a win or a top five. And I think he could do it.
If you didn't pick him, I would have. So I'm going to have to go with somebody different. I think I'll go with Jeff Gordon.
Yeah, he's always a good go-to this season. You know, he's just been, he's the top Hendrick driver right now. So that's a good choice.
So there we have it. All right, Juliana, I'm going to let you go, get some more rest, and it's always great talking to you. We'll talk to you again, I guess, as we get into the elimination round to see who's...
Perfect.
Maybe right before the last race of the elimination round. And we'll see who's going to battle it out.
I look forward to it. Good talking to you again.
All right, take it easy now.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. There you have Juliana White, Miss Sprint Cup, from Haddon Township, New Jersey, my neck of the woods. And we'll be joined shortly by somebody else from a little further north of my neck of the woods. Dustin Buzinski, who is getting ready to call in a little bit. She's from WYLN TV 35 in Hazleton. And I can't wait to talk to her. It'll be her debut on the show. So we'll talk to her in a little bit, because I know she's all excited about what happened Saturday night. And we'll get into what she thought. So you're listening to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. The NHRA actually had the week off this weekend, and they won't be back until the weekend of Halloween, with two races, two events to go to decide their championship season. They're going to be headed out to Las Vegas, then wind up in Pomona 2 weeks after that. So their season and the NASCAR season kind of ended on relatively the same week. So, as a matter of fact, November 16th, yeah, the final eliminations for NHRA will be same week. So, as everybody saw, Kevin Harvick was pretty much the dominant car of the Bank of America 500, led six times for 162 laps. So he did get all the bonus points, 48 total, moving him into the eliminator round. So he doesn't have to fret at Talladega, because apparently, as Talladega goes, we can wind up with the big one. It's just a matter of when during the race it's going to happen. Sometimes it happens at the beginning. Sometimes it happens at the end. So and Brad Keselowski won the nationwide race on Friday night. But he's running for owner points for Roger Penske. If you hadn't heard that, Sam Hornish Jr. has signed with Richard Petty Motorsports, so he's going to be back in the Sprint Cup Series next year in the number 9 car that was vacated by Marcus Ambrose, who is heading back to Australia to drive in the V8 Supercar Series. He'll be driving for Roger Penske. So I guess Roger Penske getting in the sand in another form of motorsports. Marcus Ambrose has been a champion in that series, so it's nothing new to him. So look for him to have some success in that series. Everything Roger Penske touches pretty much he gets a championship in, no matter where. Of course, he had his first Brad Keselowski a couple of years ago. And, of course, winning the Nationwide Series Championship the year before with same Brad Keselowski. Remember, Brad got his start driving for Junior Motorsports and moved on to Team Penske, and look where he's come. Of course, Penske with a two-car team always seems to be running well. Keselowski having a bad weekend at Talladega, was forced to finish in the back, and of course got upset, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Right now I'd like to bring to the show my very special guest from WYLN-TV in Hazleton, Kristen Bozinski, Yankee Woman. Kristen, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Thanks so much for having me. Exciting to be here talking with you. It's been so long since I chatted with you in person or even on the phone, so this is a good deal. So thanks for having me.
I don't know, it took me so long to have you on. I wouldn't. With your TV schedule and all that going on back in the day, you were one busy girl, woman, excuse me, I don't want to offend.
Yeah, I guess you could say my full-time job right now is just being a mom. But, so I'm still doing the TV thing every now and then and posting some things here and there. And, of course, watching my NASCAR.
I'll tell you, though. You know, it gets kind of interesting, though, in watching the races week in and week out. It's like there's been so many races this year of late. Now, early on in the season when everybody was filling out the new rules, the racing was a little better. But now
right.
that people are getting them down, you're starting to get people lead certain sections of the race. And, of course, Saturday night was no different. Harvick, 162 laps, and throughout the chase, he's been pretty dominant but hasn't won. And this time he retained his closer status and got the win, so it was good to see him do that. What gets me is, I don't know if you've taken on this, but for a guy going to a new team, he's done pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with you, Vince. I actually really like Harvick. I mean, it's no secret, I think, to you and those who are listening that know me that, you know, I'm a Brad K fan, and you know, I'll put my 2 cents in about what happened on Saturday a little later. But, you know, I like Harvick. I think he's a great guy. I like how he engages his fans, you know, with his son and how his wife engages them on, you know, the Vine videos and Facebook and, you know, Twitter. And I think he's got a real good head on his shoulders, and I think he's a really talented driver, and I think now we're finally being able to see, you know, the true Kevin Harvick. And Saturday night was a perfect example of that.
The thing about it is, too, he was with Richard Childress since the death of Dale Earnhardt back in 2001. Of course, that's pretty big shoes to fill as a rookie coming up, and that used to be my driver up until then, was Dale Sr. And as I got into covering the sport more, I kind of tried to wean my way away from having a favorite, so to speak. This way I don't get starstruck when I go in the media center and ask questions. And you know how that is doing interviews and stuff like that with people. You can got to maintain your composure. But
yeah, absolutely.
The way he, you would have thought he'd have won a championship somewhere within the past 13 years.
Totally agreed. I mean, and you know, and like you were saying about the, you know, when you do work in the media, you do try and, you know, kind of, you know, keep yourself away from choosing a driver, choosing your favorite, cheering a certain one on, because like you said, you want to ask the fair questions, and you want to not go into, you know, your least favorite driver that, you know, if you have one in your head who's your least favorite driver, you want to be fair, you know, to everyone, obviously, as a journalist. But yeah, I mean, Kevin, I agree with you. I think he's a phenomenal talent on the track. And I have to say, I think he might surprise a lot of people before the end of the season. I think he already is, but I think possibly even more.
And the other biggest surprise too is you figure you're going for an established team, you're going from a team that has good equipment week in and week out, well funded. You can't say anything that about Childress not being well funded. Okay. He was in probably the top car on the team, mm-hmm. and then he breaks and goes with Stuart Haas, and you know you figure it was a two car team going in Tony Stewart, Ryan Newman. They were getting their feet wet, but it's amazing how well they were able to get those cars to where you have three of the four teams qualify for the chase, and I'm including Kurt Busch there.
Absolutely. Yeah, that team really meshed together well, and I think it's showing. Everyone's always Hendrick, you know, and obviously with Jimmy Johnson and all his championships. But I just really think it's going to be a big surprise this year. And I think it could be a Kevin Harvick or, you know, someone else to come out and surprise everyone in the end, I think.
I know, especially looking at the standings right now with Dale Jr. and Jimmy Johnson at the bottom, on the outside looking in. Watching the race on Saturday when they had the radio between Jimmy and Chad Knaus, you see Jimmy getting a little bit upset towards the end. And I think when you see a six-time champ start to unravel, you get that kind of feeling that his season might be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting you say that, too, because I think you'll agree with me, being around these guys, you know, you more than me, but as much as we have, you know, Jimmy and Chad are very calm, cool, and collective, I think, no matter what the situation. And now we're like you said, we're kind of starting to see them kind of unravel a little bit and kind of come out of their calm, cool, and collective shell. And I think they're getting nervous. And you know, hey, like I said earlier, I'm a Brad K fan to the end, thanks to my son. You know, I'm not 100% in favor of the new Chase grid and how it's working out, because I feel like a team like Brad K, like the number two car, those guys raced their you-know-whats off this season. I mean, you know, we ended the regular, you know, season with them on top. I mean, Jeff Gordon, too. But and then now you see, what is Brad, like third last, right?
Yeah.
It's like Brad and Dale and then Jimmy, right?
Right. And the bubble guy's Kenseth. So, and there's a guy that was battling for the championship last year against Jimmy Johnson. Had he had a good week the last 2 weeks last year, he could have been a Sprint Cup championship and taken that sixth one from Johnson.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, secretly, I'm sure there were a lot of people at home cheering for Kenseth, whether they were a Kenseth fan or not, you know, just to see someone else, you know, fight for that championship and win it. But, I mean, hey, you know, it's no secret Johnson and, you know, Knaus and Mr. Hendrick, they're just a strong team. And unfortunately, I don't know really what's happening to them right now, but I just think they're just being outpowered by just some of these drivers, like you said, like Harvick, who's just coming out of it, you know, coming out and just showing everyone what he can really do behind the wheel.
Well, the thing to think of it is too, Knaus and Johnson have a lot of chemistry. They've won 5 in a row, 6 total. You're going to have burps every couple of times. It seems like when Jimmy Johnson lost to Brad a couple of years ago, there were little flare-ups, so to speak. So it's going to happen. It's kind of, I guess they're kind of like brothers. I know my brothers, I love them, get along with them most of the time. There's a few times I want to punch them upside the head, you know.
I hear that.
and it's just the same way. But if you look at iconic teams that have won a lot of championships, and there's not too many of them, Jimmy Johnson with Chad through 6. You had Jeff Gordon with Ray Evernham for 3 out of the 4. The fourth one was with Steve LaTarte right there on the year, you know, the year that Earnhardt died. But Earnhardt finished 2nd year before. Had that not happened, who knows, he might have won his 8th championship. But he's had a couple different crew chiefs. So that just goes as a testament of how good the driver is as opposed to how good the car is. And that's the thing these days. Like last week I had Denny Darnell, who's in motorsports for forever. He was one of the people that used to work. He was a PR guy for Winston and then for Dodge up until recently. And he was saying that before it used to be more the drivers, and now it's more the engineering. So as good as the driver is, if his car is not there now, he's not going to have a good day. And Jimmy Johnson earlier in the year, he won, what, the Coke 600. He came back the next week to Wendover, and then he won 3 in a row, I think. And, look, Jimmy's back after not winning anything for 7 races, and then goes into a little bit of – runs good, then gets into a little bit of a tailspin at the end of the season. You know, sometimes these guys try to overthink things in the shops, and maybe that's what's happening to them.
Yeah, very true. Very true. But, yeah, I mean, you're right, though. I mean, I'm friends with a lot of the crew guys, talk to them, you know, on a regular basis. And, you know, they don't have easy jobs. I mean, you know, of course, you know, all the NASCAR fans, they see their driver and they're out cheering for him. You know, that driver's got to give a lot of credit to the men and some women that are behind them. And they're building that car and they're tweaking it and they're making it, you know, the best that they can, you know, listening to their driver very intensely. You know, it's too tight, it's this, it's that, and they're doing what they can. And those crew members, they get a lot of credit, too, when it comes to things, when it comes to champions and when it comes to winning races, obviously.
Especially the pit crew. You figure, what are they turning now? We're turning 4 tires and gas under 13 seconds. That's nuts.
Yep. Crazy. Crazy. And, you know, that was the first time my son was in the pits. We were at Brad Kay's car, his pit stall. And for a 7-year-old, I'm telling you, the kid's eyes were, like, bigger than his head. He couldn't believe how quick and how fast and just how amazing it is that they can do that. And, I mean, it honestly, it takes a true athlete to be able to do what they do in those 13, 14 seconds.
I know. It used to be they used to pick these guys up on the weekend, head over to the track, and then, you know, if you got out of the pits in 20 seconds, that was great. They didn't have all these fancy air guns like they do now with the nitrogen charge or the gas cans. I thought the gas cans, when they went over from the old style to this style, would slow the pit stops up, but maybe for half a season that was the case, and now they figured out a way to get that emptied out as well. Now, you're a young lady. How long have you been following the sport? I'm going to try to match some stuff up here. This is the first time I actually got a chance to sit down and talk to you because we weren't involved with work.
Right, exactly. Okay, so I'm not ashamed to say I'm 35, so let's see. No. My son's 8. I've been covering news in the Northeast Pennsylvania area since 2000. However, a very interesting twist on my love for NASCAR comes back in about 1999 when Vince, I know this is going to surprise you, but I just happened to be a Winston girl at the Pocono Raceway. and ran into the right person at the right time, told him my major in college, said, hey, I have a friend who owns a TV station, like, give me your contact info from there, got my first job in TV. And then from that point on, go ahead.
You were a Miss Winston?
I wasn't Miss Winston. I was a Winston girl. If I remember correctly, I think we were trading out other brand of cigarettes for Winston. Like, you could still do that.
One of the booth girls.
Yeah, so, you know, that's just what this agency that I was doing work for called it. We were Winston girls. And
cool.
So, fun. It was fun. I mean, hey, whatever. But, you know, and so actually, I can thank NASCAR for sort of putting me into my first job, basically. But then, you know, covering it was just, at first it was just more of, I got to learn this sport because I got to cover it. And I got to cover it, you know, every time they're in Pocono, and I don't know anything about it, you know. Hey, I know that the Pocono Raceway is called the Tricky Triangle, but that's about all I know, you know, at that point. But I had to start kind of learning.
That back in the day.
Well, I guess since I, you know, got into TV. But, you know, I knew that, and I also knew that the drivers didn't really like Pocono so much. So I kind of knew a couple of things, but I just needed to learn more. So I started to watch it more. And then when my son decided he was going to love racing, and one night he was sitting at home, we were watching the race, and he goes, Mommy, that's my favorite car right there. I go, which one, Nate? His name is Nathan. He goes, the beer car. I said, the Miller Lite car, number two? He goes, the beer car. Now, I'm ashamed, not ashamed, but I think it's hilarious that he was about four at this point, knew that it was a beer car, but whatever. So he picked Brad Kay as his driver. So, of course, Mom had to back him up on it. And then I really, really started getting into it when he started getting into it. And being able to give my son the experience he's been able to get, thankfully, through Brad Kay's team and how nice they've been to him. And, I mean, the things he's done, Vince, are amazing in the garage with the guys and in Brad Kay's car, you know, day before the race, up on the lit, you know, just things like that. And meeting Brad a zillion times, I mean, I'm a true Brad fan for what his team and what he's done for my son. So it's just been kind of just a lot over the years, Vince. I've just kind of taught myself, got more into it, had a little boy who just happened to love racing, and then that was it. Mom was hooked.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And speaking of the beer car, here's a case in point. I used to be a season ticket holder at Pocono from... My wife and I, we were dating back then, from 86 through the early 90s. Well, 86 is when the two car came into play, when Rusty Wallace left Raymond Beadle in the 27 and signed with Roger Penske for his first year. He was going to switch the year after he won the then Winston Cup. And he was sitting in Pocono, still in 27 uniform, and he had an autograph session after Saturday's practice in the ARCA race. And, you know, talk about a long day there. So we had these fancy tickets where you got to stand in line and get autographs long before I got into doing radio there. And I saw Rusty. He had just got done. He was the last guy there, and I had a cooler left. And I knew he had just signed with Penske and Miller. And I was like, hey, Rusty, hot day out there. Like, oh, man, as he's signing stuff, I got a beer. It's ice cold. It's a Miller. And he thought about it, and he thought about it, and he's like, he goes, I better not. But,
that's funny. That's a good one. That would have been that would have been your most favorite beer ever, Ben. The one that Rusty took.
It was Miller. I was drinking Miller Genuine Drafts up until I got bored with it, and now I'm on Yuengling.
Yeah, Yuengling, Pennsylvania. I'll take it. That's a good beer. Good beer.
It is a good. You know what, though? I got to admit, it's better out of the bottle than the can. Or the keg.
Yeah.
Better out of the keg than the bottle than the can.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I'm not a Yuengling girl, but I will every now and then, you know, enjoy Yuengling. But I like it on draft and at a bar. Like, I don't know. For some reason, it just tastes better. It just tastes better when a bartender's giving it to you behind the bar for some reason. I don't know. But, yeah.
Especially Yuengling, if somebody else is buying.
Okay, I'll take that, too. Yeah, you know, gotta get some free beers here and there when you can, right, Vince?
Well, you have a better shot of it than I do. Nobody buys me beers anymore.
Well, okay, here's the deal. Next time, if we meet up at a track, I will buy you a beer just because you said that, because I got to buy you.
All right. But I'll have to get you down to this market down here, because in my area where I moved from, I used to be, you know, I used to go to Dover. Both races covered them for my old station, WNJC. And then I moved down here, and I says, well, I got to take the show somehow. So that's where I went to online here. And I'm right smack in the middle of Bristol, Martinsville, and Charlotte.
Oh, boy. You're perfect.
And I did, as a fan, go to Bristol a couple of years ago for the night race, kicked that off the bucket list, bought the tickets, and as the privilege of getting the tickets early enough, they says, well, you can come down and drive on Bristol Motor Speedway.
Awesome.
So I got a video somewhere of me my wife and I driving in our Mustang, going around Bristol Motor Speedway about 70 miles an hour.
That is cool. That's cool. Yo, speaking of driving on a track, I think you'll remember this. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe like just through social media, because I don't think you were there. But when Clint Bowyer came to Pocono, and I don't know, a handful of media were able to come, and he drove us. So I was one of them. And
cool.
I will tell you what, I took a little small handheld video camera in with me. And the video will make you dizzy because it's just boom, 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 bam, jumping up and down. But it was an experience of a lifetime, hitting those corners and, oh, man. And so at one point I remember Clint takes his right hand off the steering wheel, because you could see that I was either going to, I don't. You just use your imagination. He saw my face, basically. So he took his hand off the steering wheel, and he put it like on, like he kind of like just tapped my leg, like, it's okay, you know, it's okay. And I'm like screaming. I'm going, put your hand back on the steering wheel. Put it back on. I'm fine. I'm fine.
Smoking down the front straightaway, 190 mile an hour. Look, no hands.
Yeah, look, Mom, no hands. I'm like, no, put it back on. I'm good. It was just funny. And him and I laughed about it afterwards, because he's like, my goodness, your face. He's like, I didn't know what was going to happen. I said, I was fine. I just couldn't believe what was going on. Like, just the speed and just the force and just the adrenaline that I was feeling. And he goes, oh, okay. And I was like, and then you take your hand off the steering wheel. And it was really funny. It was actually a big joke. And next time I saw him I saw him at Pocono. I think that was before the Pocono race. And I walked up to him. And I didn't have to say anything, and he just started laughing because he remembered. And it was quite funny. But that video I have, that's classic. I love the video because it's just, I kept turning it around, like, and would put it on my face, and when I would like turn it to Clint and put it on Clint, and it was comical, but.
Do you have it on your Facebook?
Do I have it
on your Facebook? Put it up there. I'll check it out tomorrow.
Yeah, I will. You know what? I think it is somewhere buried in the 4,000 videos that are on there from the news. I'll definitely find it for you and put it up there. I think I might even have a couple DVD copies of it, just that I had them burn afterwards, so that I would never forget that experience. So.
Yeah, you don't forget that. And it's always good when you go see them again and they remember you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, going back to Barquet, man, every year when I take Nate back to him, he remembers him, and he remembers him by name because everyone calls Nathan Nate Dog, and he says, Nate Dog, you know, he knows. And I don't know, I have a lot of respect for Brad in that sense. Now, Saturday, I'm not 100% on his side, but, you know, I believe if you're a fan, you're a fan through, you know, good and bad. So I'm not going to change my feelings on Brad, but I don't necessarily think he was completely right in what went on.
Well, here's how I look at it after years and years of watching and stuff. You're looking at a guy that has run good all year, and now he's mm-hmm. on the bottom looking in after a couple of bad turns in the event. Should he have done what he did? Probably not, but it's better he get the frustration out then
mm-hmm.
and get refocused for Talladega so he has a shot at doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're from the that area in Pennsylvania. You went to you watched a race and a Flyers game broke out at the end, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. You know, it was crazy. I mean, kudos to the camera guy. I mean, obviously I have to think from a news and journalistic perspective, but, you know, capturing that, because, you know, watching it, you're like, oh, okay, they got Denny calm, you know, you see Brad, you know, he's going to just get out of the area and everything's going to be good. And then out comes Kenseth. And that's my disappointment in Brad is the Kenseth thing. And I think Kenseth has a good point, you know, with all these safety concerns and everything that's going on, especially since the Tony Stewart incident and so forth. I mean, you know, doing that, you know, race is over, head into pit road, guy already has his belt off, his, you know, net down, and you know, it's kind of a cheap shot. And he, you know, fortunately nothing bad happened. Fortunately, he did not get hurt. However, it would have been a different story if he did. And I think Kenseth had a right to be mad. And he was mad because you and I both know Kenseth is a very calm, cool, and collective dude. And he just said that. He was not a happy camper.
No, usually when he has that kind of – usually I think the last person that had any kind of flare-up with Kenseth was Jeff Gordon a few races back. But usually you expect Kenseth to get out of the car, whine a lot. I mean, nothing against Matt, but he is a bit of a whiner. But this time he actually got bent out of shape. And like you said, rightly so. His belt was off, the net was down, the helmet was coming off, and that wasn't the time to do it. Now, I'm surprised Stewart didn't jump out of him because he backed into Stewart's car. I mean, Stewart backed into Brad, and then Brad ducked around the inside by the wall there and went into the garage. I figured by the time they got to him, he'd have been hiding either in the hall or out towards the motor coach.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was looking for Tony. I was like, okay, where's Tony going to come into this? And I was, you know. And then in the back of my head, I'm thinking, I don't know. Maybe he's going to stay clear of this situation and just kind of, you know, he sent a message. He sent a pretty good message, in my opinion. I thought it was great. Like, you know what? You want to play demolition derby here, Brad? Well, let me show you something. And then that was it. I think with everything that's going on with Tony, I think he played it cool, and then he did what he needed to do, sent a message, and then I think he did the right thing.
That's for sure. Did you ever have a Tony moment at the track, trying to get an interview? Or at least pop a question in at a press conference or something.
You mean a not so nice driver? Or
yeah,
whoa.
You know,
yeah.
Or been privy to.
I would have to say, this isn't anything personal. This is strictly business. But the rudest, most ignorant driver that I've come across was Ryan Newman. In terms of interview, I mean, it couldn't have been any more rude of a get out of my face type thing than I experienced with him. my most favorite driver to interview, Vince, and I don't think it will surprise you one bit. It's actually kind of comical. My favorite driver was Michael Waltrip. I literally would find that man every time I was at Pocono and I would interview him. I just loved him. He's just funny. And when he's not even trying to be funny, he's just funny to me. So he's my favorite.
You got that right. Michael Waltrip, definitely one of the better interviews you can do. You know who else is good? You might not have been able to get to him. Kenny Wallace.
No. Mm-mm. Never got him.
He's another Michael Waltrip.
Yeah.
I used to get one-on-ones with Kenny at Dover, and I'd have 20 minutes. I had like a solid 20-minute interview. I said,
wow.
Well, this takes half a Monday show.
Definitely. Wow. Yeah, I never had the privilege of running into him or interviewing him.
He was one guy that if I could have directed you to when he was running, that would have been him. You would have had a good one with him. I actually got him on the serious note. I had him, his brother Mike, and here's the thing about his brother Mike, too. Mike Wallace, his daughter Chrissy was starting to come up in the truck series, and I asked him about women drivers, you know, how do you feel about women coming up in the sport, and he said he was all in for it with his daughter coming up. And I remember in a nationwide race, Shauna Robinson qualified on the pole, and on lap one, Mike Wallace wrecked her.
Oh, wow.
Kind of brought that question out of mothballs, remembering that incident. And Shauna's, I feel bad for her. She's fighting breast cancer now. But,
oh, wow.
She's
wow,
done the show
God
a few bless. Times, and she's always a good guest to come on. As a matter of fact, she got to get a hold of her because I want to talk to her. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and
it is.
I'll try to get her back on and talk about her fight and all that. Hey, I'll make this. I'll put this out to you on the air. Maybe you can co-host that day and help me interview her.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. I'm complete huge supporter of breast cancer awareness. I don't know if you saw on Facebook. I just got some pink streaks put in my hair, some extensions. In support of it, and totally a supporter of it, and you know, and God bless her for her fight. You know, these women, cancer, just that word is just, I don't even like it to come out of my mouth. But yeah, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I think that would be a fantastic guest to have and hear about her fight and how she's doing today. And good idea, Vince. I would be happy to join you.
Well, I did see that picture you posted. I even commented on it.
I know, you did comment on it. You know, I was going to get one. I was going to get one on one side and just kind of be subtle with it. And if anybody said anything, I'd say, you know, oh, it's in, you know, in support of breast cancer awareness. And then I said to the girl, I said, you know what? Let's do a couple more than that. She said, all right, whatever you want. So that's what we did.
Well, me and you were kind enough to tell me your age. I didn't really think you were that old.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I will take that as a complete compliment. Complete compliment. I think my son keeps me young. I got to be honest with you. Or
that's
makes
good.
Me feel
usually
a little bad. Too.
Usually it's the other way around.
Yeah, well, I think he makes me feel young in the sense of he keeps me on my feet. Woo! Does this child keep me on my feet? But in the same sense, I think, he makes me feel old, especially when I see him. And today he comes up to me because we were trying to fill out papers for a snowboarding club at school. And it said, like, his height. So I was like, come here. Come stand next to mommy. Let's see how tall you are. We'll try and figure it out. So he stands next to me, and he's, like, up to just below my shoulders. He's, like, only got really, like, my neck and my head to go. And I'm like, what happened to you? Like, you were just in my arms and I was singing to you lullabies and, you know, and it's, yeah, so he definitely makes me feel old but keeps me young, Vince.
Oh, that's good. keep you active and young and staying fit and trim. And is what I met you in Dover. Was it a 2010 the October race?
Yeah, I think it was the fall race of 10 that we met. And funny, we met, you know, stuff in our faces, getting a little something to eat in the media food area.
Well, I used to either meet people there before they redid the media center, waiting in line at the bathroom.
Yeah. Yep. That's funny.
That's the place to mingle if you're not out in town late at night. Because I used to drive home from the track every night, so I'd commute. It was only 75 miles for me, so it was worth it for me to go home every night instead of staying at a hotel. So I'd miss all the parties after the track event that you all got
right.
to go to. And
Yep, we won't go there. I'm just busting you, actually. We were so beat from our day that when we were there actually, like, covering the race, I mean, there were times we went when we weren't actually covering it. We were just spectators from the inside looking out. You know, we were just so tired and whatever. But those times that we went just for fun to see our friends, well, those are the times we'll just keep to ourselves.
Well, I don't know what went on, so and don't tell me on here.
Nothing terrible. I'm just you know, maybe a little casino play. You know, the casino that's down. Is it down Route 1? I can't remember where
right,
it is.
Right,
but
the track.
Well, yeah, no, we didn't go to that one because that one was just you could forget. Can't even get into that one during race weekend. We would literally like, oh damn, I can't remember what route. I guess it's Route 1. I don't know. And we would go. I think it's actually like Delaware, Maryland, almost Delaware, Maryland border. I can't remember it, but that's where we would go, and we would have a good old time.
Well, that's cool. I don't know about that one. I know there's one further up near Christiana Hospital. Delaware Park had a casino there, but that's
Never went to that one. Never went to that one.
Well, now you have casinos in the Poconos.
Yeah, we got lots of casinos now here in Pennsylvania. Unfortunately, they seem to be maybe taking their toll on the casinos in Jersey. But, hey, what are you going to do? But, yeah, the casinos here, like the Sands, we have the Sands here in Bethlehem because I actually live in Bethlehem in the Lehigh Valley. And the Sands is great. Great place. I love the Sands. I'm not a gambler, so I might throw like 20 in like Wheel of Fortune or something and see what happens. But they have live bands and, you know, concerts. I just took my son to see country singer Chase Rice last week with some good friends. And so, yeah, I mean, these casinos they're just taking over.
Yeah, that's about the thing of it is. And I think it's one good thing with Dover. I don't know how Pocono is not at the track, but Dover's got the hotel and casino. Before it was just a hotel. So, you know, they got like a complete resort area right at the Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you ever get into any drag racing? Because as far as women in motorsports, that's where they seem to excel.
I haven't. I'd love to, though. Any kind of racing, I'd love it. That would be fun. I wonder if they do it anywhere around here.
Maple Grove in Reading was just last weekend or the weekend before. If you get a chance to go cover that, if you can't, just go anyway. The price of, they say, with every ticket pass, and you could actually go up to, it's not like NASCAR where you have to go in through a garage area. They're all lined up on, the nitro cars are on one side of the track, the gas cars and the pro stocks and the motorcycles are on the other side of the track. But if you go to one of those, you'll experience something that you've never experienced in your life.
Mm.
When you get down by the start-finish line of an NHRA event, and you have two 10,000 horsepower nitro burning, either top fuel dragsters or funny cars taking off at once, your whole body's going to vibrate from the inside out.
Oh, man. That sounds awesome.
You'll have to check that out.
I definitely will.
And then you'll have
will.
To call That's back and give me a report.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to go to my first, I don't know, are they quarter midgets? Is that what they are? Or I don't know. I'm
a little car.
Yeah, I've never seen them race. And I'm excited. I'm just kind of connected with a friend who races. I'm in his son races, and so I'm gonna take a trip and see that racing. So that'll be fun. And I know as soon as I take Nathan, that's exactly what he's gonna want to do. Mommy, I want to be a race car driver. And then I'll be even more poor than I am because I'll be finding sponsors and building cars and getting all greasy Vince. I'll be his crew chief.
There you go. So actually, it's good to finally – you have to join us a little more often now that I finally broke the ice. I don't know what
Yeah, anytime you want, Vince, I am here, and I am more than willing to come on with you and talk shop. That'll be fun. I love the sport of NASCAR, and I love talking. That's what I do for a living. So,
me too.
Well, I'll chat with you anytime.
I'll talk to people in the grocery line.
it's so true. It's crazy. You know, sometimes I say to myself, oh, man, Chris, like, I'll come home at night when I was with some friends or whatever the case may be, even, like, a school function for my son. I'd be like, oh, man, Kristen, how much did you talk tonight? Did you talk too much? Like, people would probably, like, shut this girl up. But I'm just a friendly person. I like to meet people, make new friends, chit-chat. You know, I feel like the more you talk to people, the more you get to know people. Whether you're going to see them once or you're going to see them again, you know, 50 times, you know, you learn something new from everyone you talk to. And I don't think you really realize that until you're in my shoes and people are like, would you shut up already?
You'll never get that out of me. So, so when's the next time you're on the air up in Hazleton there so people could check you out there?
This coming Monday, I'm on I believe that's the 18th. We do a 10 o'clock at night newscast. It's pretty much like the Hazleton area, some Schuylkill County, up Wilkes-Barre, Scranton area, kind of a little bit of the Poconos. So, I left my full-time job as a news anchor and a news director at another station. I was there for 12 years. I left there in 2012, and then I kind of took a little hiatus. And now I'm with WILN, and it's fun. I'm just filling in here and there because it's hard. I live an hour away, so it's hard with my son and trying to fit it all in, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun filling in here and there and still getting that rush of, you know, being behind the camera and reporting the news. And it's cool because it's the same viewers as I had before for 12 years. So it's kind of like I'm back home, I guess you could say.
Well, that's good. Well, if you're ever looking for a new market and you want to get deeply rooted in the NASCAR area, you either want to go to Charlotte. We're here in southwestern Virginia.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I would love it. I'd love to. I always say that. I would love to work for NASCAR because, you know, it's something TV-wise or, that would be fun because it's something two things I'm passionate about, you know. So that would be a really good time. I have a good friend who lives in Charlotte. He's always like, come live here already. Just pack your stuff up and come live here already. And I'll tell you what, a few times it's been very tempting. But yeah, I will definitely keep that in mind, definitely.
Well, so, you know, send out the videotapes and what can they do? You know, you have experience as an anchor person, a news director, and
That would be fun. I would love it. I would love to get back into the news full time, and you know, I do miss it a lot. I miss it a lot. I made the decision to leave my full time after those many years because I wanted to be a mom, I guess you could say. I kind of feel bad for Nathan in a sense. You know, he is actually hearing impaired and he has a disability, and I just really wanted to give him the attention that he deserved from his mom, and I wasn't able to do that. And so right now I am, and the older he gets, I think the easier it's going to be to get back into it. And I think I'm still young enough. I mean, I'm getting up there, but I think I'm still young enough that I could find something eventually.
Well, that's good. Then he definitely deserves your attention, and you're a good person for doing that. It takes a lot to just give up a career and to raise a child, and as somebody who doesn't have any kids by choice, I admire that. So, and again, I'd like to thank you for joining me, and you'll have to come join us again. Maybe next time, call in.
Yep, absolutely, Vince. You let me know. We're Facebook friends, and we'll stay in touch through there and through phone, and let me know. I loved it. I had a great time talking shop and catching up with you. So thanks so much for including me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's just the fact that I should have had you on sooner, but I was in the process of moving down here, getting reestablished, and now that I was just glad you were able to come on such short notice and take some time and talk some racing.
Yep, absolutely. And anytime you want to talk racing, I'm the girl to talk it with you.
All right. I'll hold you to that.
All right, Vince. Sounds good.
Okay, take care now.
All right, you too. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. There you have Kristen Bozinski from WYLN Channel 35 in Hazleton. Somebody covers the north end going Poconos and down and that way at the racetrack. And, of course, me down here in southwestern Virginia covering Richmond and a few of those like that, bringing you the world of motorsports. As far as next weekend's race at Talladega, my pick is I'm going to go with Jeff Gordon on this one. So I think he's going to be able to hold off the charge. Of course, Miss Sprint Cup picked Dale Jr., and I'm not one to pick the same thing somebody else picked, so I'll post that on Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/GarageTalkLive. Hit the like button if you haven't already, and make your pick. See you all next week. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Good night and good racing.